Well, good morning. Did you enjoy the kids singing? Wasn't that awesome? The Lord is so good to us over the years, and so many young people, and to see them up there, and I'm just trying to imagine what I would have been like back at that age, and I suppose my mom would tell me if I would ask her. Just so thankful for being here with you on this special Sunday. I would like to start with a word of prayer. We did have a really special blessing in the first service. One of our very own, April Gross, who, if you're part of the Lakeside family, you will know that 16 years ago, she had a double lung transplant. And then just 6 weeks ago, she had a second double lung transplant. And she was in the service this morning without oxygen, just a big smile on her face. And that was so awesome. Like to give the Lord thanks for that. And then as Pastor Trevor mentioned, with the loss of some of the Iowa National Guard troops from right here in Iowa, one of our very own from our church will be meeting some of those families. And so just certainly want to ask that God would bless there as well. And then thirdly, as I'm speaking here right now, our group, 10 or so that went to South Africa, they left Kenya maybe about 2 hours ago, so they are in flight. And I'm just going to open us in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for a myriad of things. We start out with the blessing. Children are a gift from you. And Lord, we cherish, we treasure, we value young people, little children, a nursery and a children's church and Kids for Truth and junior high and senior high and young adults and young marrieds. Lord, you have just given us young people in abundance, Lord. And might this always be a culture that would be an encouragement to those kids. Lord, I think about how you've rescued April twice now with a double lung transplant twice. I think about her life and how she's given you the glory, how she was prepared to meet you if that was your will. I think of her spirit and her just gratitude, and I thank you for that. I think about, Lord, the peace and security, the relative security we have in the homeland here because of brave men and women, many who are a part of our church family here, who serve so faithfully and put their life out on the line. And I pray that you would bless our brother as he brings encouragement and consolation to several of the families today. I think of the young people led by Pastor Tony that are in air right now. Lord, would you bring them back safely? And thank you, Lord, for the generosity of the people of Lakeside to be able to help send them over to a distant land. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless us now in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, I would just ask you to try to get a touch of childlike wonderment of the Christmas story and the Christmas character, Christ himself. 2,000 years ago, heaven came down to earth, and a deity put on the robe of humanity. God, the Son, who is called Emmanuel, God with us. And we get carried away, and I'm no different. I get carried away with gift buying, and thank you, Amazon Prime, for making that easier to spend money and have it dropped at the door. And I just think about the Christmas season and all the plans and all the moving parts, and we have a time now to spend a few moments to think about, why do we have the children up here? Why do we decorate the trees? What's going on here? Now, the world knows that it was a significant event. We set our calendar by the birth of Christ. You have before Christ, and then you have AD, the year of the Lord. All around the world, even if you were to go over to Israel today and in the Palestinian-controlled parts, like Bethlehem itself, you would see a sort of celebration of the birth of Christ. They'd be trying to sell you a nativity scene and take you back to the very spot. So the world doesn't really want to grapple too much with the fact that Christ was born. And Nate, you might even ask anybody from the world. You go downtown, you go anywhere, go to work, where was Jesus born, if you believe he was? And they're going to tell you Bethlehem. But I'm not sure many could tell you the reason or the purpose for which Christ came. I'm not sure many would tell you why Bethlehem, what's the importance of Bethlehem, why a star, what's the big deal about that, why the shepherds, why the wise men, why the emphasis on the mother. I'm not so sure they could tell you why. Maybe if we gathered philosophers and theologians and we put them up here on a stage and we had a question and answer and they would debate the purpose of why, we'd get some good answers, we'd get some off-the-wall answers or whatever. But I think for our time this morning, the best person to ask about the purpose for Christmas, why was Christ born, is to ask Christ himself. Why don't we let him speak to us today? I looked up over the 21 years, our 21st Christmas now, I guess, technically, of Lakeside, and all the Christmas sermons and all of the topics, and we've done Christmas according to the angels, and Christmas according to the Magi, and Christmas according to the shepherds, Christmas according to Mary, Christmas according to Joseph. Today, let's look at Christmas according to Jesus himself. Now, the text that I've selected or the Lord led me to in Hebrews 10. You probably have never got a Christmas card with Hebrews chapter 10 on it. You're probably not in the Christmas pageants you've gone to, heard Hebrews chapter 10. But in Hebrews chapter 10 is an unbelievable Christmas passage. Let me just read a couple of verses. So today, Christmas according to Jesus. Let me read a couple of verses that Jen just read for us. I'll start at Hebrews 10, starting at verse 5, and just going to go to the very first part of verse 9. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, so as Christ was coming into the world, get your mind around this, there was a conversation going on between Jesus and the Father. That's what this passage is saying. When Christ was coming into the world, he hadn't gotten here yet. He said to his Father, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. That wasn't a part of the real authentic plan, but a body you've prepared for me. This is Jesus talking to his Father. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. Those Old Testament sacrifices would cover sin until they sinned, which was an hour or two later. They didn't take sin away. And then Jesus says in verse 7, then I said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God or Father, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. That's why our series, mini-series for three Sundays, is from Genesis to Jesus. A couple more verses. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and sin offerings, and continual and continual and continual. These are according to the Old Testament law. Then he added, behold, Father, I've come to do your will. I've come to do your will. Now, if you just look at verse 10, I want you to gather into the wonderment of this and try to get your mind wrapped around and maybe help me figure out when did this conversation take place. He says in verse 5, consequently, when Christ, and literally the original language says when he was coming into the world, it's not past tense, as he was coming into the world, he said, and then we have what he said. So I don't know if this is Christmas Eve. I don't know if this is as he's in timeless eternity and he's passing through this wall into time. Sometime, I understand, before he was in the womb of Mary, he has this conversation with the Father. And God, in his great plan, pulls back the curtain and he lets us see this unbelievable conversation as he's saying goodbye to his son, as the son saying goodbye to the father. Now, we prayed several times for the troops from Iowa that just got lost in Syria. We had a couple here who have a son that's actually over in Syria, first service. Heard the news, wondered. So I'm sure he reflected back to when he said goodbye to his son. So this is God. Jesus saying, I know you've prepared a body for me. And I'm gonna go. I'm gonna do it. He knew what heaven was. That's his home. He knew what earth was gonna be. And God lets us in on this conversation. This is holy ground. This is God revealing how much he loves us. He wants us to know that he sent his son and that his son said, no, you don't have to even send me. I'll go. I'll go. And then notice what he says, because I'm trying to think about what is going on in heaven. Then he says in verse 5 and 6, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you've prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. So I'm just envisioning God the Son and God the Father. They're in heaven, the Trinity in heaven. They're watching the sacrifices go. And the Son apparently is watching the Father in heaven. And the Father's not receiving any pleasure out of the slaughter of animal after animal after animal after animal. It's a temporary fix to an eternal problem. It's as good as the moment that it happens. And so Jesus says, I know, Father, you've taken no pleasure in those hundreds of years of sacrifices. And you can almost hear the Son saying, I want to bring you pleasure. I want to put a smile on your face. I want to do what nobody else could ever do. Nobody's even capable of doing. So the first words out of Jesus' mouth were not goo goo gaga. Jesus watched. The Father had no pleasure. And in some unbelievable way, he says, I'll go. Then it says in verse 7, then I said, behold, I've come to do your will, of God, as is written in me in the scroll of the book. He knew every prophecy, all 300. We talked about them last week. He said, I'll go do it. Everything that was prophesied, I'm the person. I'll go. This is the moment in time. This is the moment in time. I'll do it. Here I am. I'll go. What the sacrifices can't do, I'll just do it myself. Father, you and I know that I've got to go. There's no other way. And so we have a phenomenal portion of Scripture here at Christmas. And I would just like to bring out a couple of truths that will hopefully help you go deeper, that will connect the crib to the cross. That's basically the goal here. And if you have your bulletin, there's an outline with 3 points. And I added a fourth one since that was printed. So let me share with you 4 to me, phenomenal truths that I pray would never, ever be old to us or just become ho-hum to us. Now, the very first one we've talked about for the last couple of weeks that comes out of this passage again, we see it again, that Jesus existed eternally. You need to know that Jesus didn't come into being when he was born, that he's always existed. Because he says to the Father, a body you've prepared for me. Like they're having a conversation, and now he's going to step into a body. He's going to step into a body. He's always existed. I shared this verse last week, but let me share it with you again so you can nail this down from Jesus' own words. Right before he goes to the cross, he says in John 17, I glorified you on earth. I've accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me, notice the words, in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Like we were in heaven. This plan is an eternal plan. The moment, the time is right now. So Jesus' birthday was in Bethlehem, but not his beginning. That leads to truth number 2, which each one of these, go to seminary for a couple years and help me understand this. Jesus took on humanity. He says in verse 5, a body you have prepared for me. It's the word that was used in the Old Testament for you and for I when it says in Psalm 139 that God knit us together in the womb. He fashioned us just perfectly. It means to tailor make. It means to fashion, to make for a purpose. So biblically, in the virgin birth, God did not subtract deity, but he added humanity. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. In the first service, I wish everybody could have been here, because there was a little boy by the name of Sullivan, and he was right over here, and he had a red zip sweater, and the zip went down just a little farther than this, but underneath there, he must have had a t-shirt with a cartoon character in it, so he zipped the zipper all the way down, and then he's trying to, like, rip it open. I'm like, and then he decided that's not going to work, so he decided to lift up the sweater, and he's going to show everybody. Sister's right behind him, won't let that happen, so then he decides to take his arms out of the, and he's swinging the with no arms around, and us, the pastors were talking, we would love to come up here and just have like a tearaway jersey like that. He was living his best life. The only reason I say that is because I just thought of this, that the Lord took on humanity.